This call is being recorded.
Absolutely. And that's, are we all programmed? If we live in a matrix, aren't we all programmed? You know, in reality, we look at it. So really everything is a program. When you watch TVs, what do they call it?
A program.
A program. We don't even realize it. Constantly being programmed in everything around us. Children are especially susceptible to programming. And why is that?
Because they're malleable. They're like a sponge.
Yeah. What did you say on the phone? Say that again.
They're wide open.
Wide open, yep.
Their brain waves are in theta until they're about 7.
Yep. I mean, there's not that conscious filter to say, well, this probably isn't true. So basically everything that they're programmed with becomes an ultimate, really, ground belief system. So, you know, religion, things that they start with children and religion so young, that programming becomes very, very intense. As I said before, being raised Mormon, the programming was very, very intense. You're programmed about every aspect of your life. When I started to notice it was these programs, like, I became a great bullshit detector because I started realizing all these programs, and then I thought, I realized everything's a program, you know? And I just really started noticing these programs that I was writing unconsciously, these belief systems, and we all have them at some level or another. So I'm going to pass out papers. Everyone in here just wants to take one of these. So I'm passing out papers to the group right now, so I don't have them for the phone audience. But they're just lists of potential programs. One side has maybe programs you would wish to install. The other has programs maybe you don't want anymore. Just kind of give an idea to people what a program is. Can anybody name a program they can think of before looking at the paper that, you know, is a common program?
Limitation of money.
Say money programming. I
barely failure.
Failure. Whatever I try, I fail. Or fear of failure.
Education.
We're born in sin.
Imagination is not real.
We're born in sin.
Born in sin.
Woo, that's a good one. Things that make me mad.
Things that make me mad.
To respond into an aggressive behavior.
Okay, so when something triggers you, it helps you identify there's a program.
Right.
So what would be a program that you would identify that someone's touched your button you have? A button's a great word for it.
Right. Buttons that we have that triggers to put you into this way to react.
Yeah, so tell me one of your triggers.
Inferior to men.
Huh?
How about women are inferior to
men? Yeah, or weaker than men.
That would be
or weaker or
whatever.
I'm a sinner.
I'm not worthy.
Not worthy.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the unlovable one.
I'm unlovable. I'm not good enough.
I don't belong.
Pretty enough.
Not smart enough.
The other person's better than I.
Someone else is better than me. I'm not qualified.
Nobody loves me.
I'm not good enough. These are all these programs that we unconsciously run. And so a lot of times they'll keep playing out in your life in different ways. And you don't even realize you have those programs. You don't realize that's why your husband is pushing all those buttons. Because if your button is being pushed, there is a program in there that's being triggered that's being brought up for you to see something more clearly. That's why we have relationships with each other. So someone can mirror back to us where there's healing inside that needs to happen. Okay? And if we choose to keep those programs, you can choose that. That's nothing wrong with keeping your programs. It's your choice. Just know that it's going to repeat the same patterns in your life. The programs you carry are the programs you're going to play out, which is the patterns you're going to keep recreating in your life. So if you don't love what's showing up time and time again, start to identify the programs that are causing these patterns to show up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's how you start identifying programs. So on the paper I said, is there any leftovers at all? Oh, perfect. Okay. So some ways you can identify programs is to actually read programs and see how you feel when you read those programs. So I'm going to start with the programs that says, that you may choose to install. So you can read this chart and say, I am perfect being me. And if you read that and you immediately hear self-talk come back that say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough.
So we are.
Then that's a sign that there might be, that program might be running that I'm not good enough or I'm not perfect, okay? if you read I am enough, you might hear I'm not enough. And so these are ways to do that. So kind of read through these and just kind of notice if anything, pops out at you, and just kind of, anybody wants to share, I'd love to hear, what you noticed, that there might be a program there, that you kind of feel triggered by something that's on there.
All of it? I haven't said no to a single one. Not yet.
I'll read some of this so you can kind of hear them. So, I am lovable exactly how I am. It is safe to be authentic. It is safe to be me. I am free. I create a joyful life. I am joy. I am love. I am lovable. I am beautiful. And I did these for women because I have a women's class I teach called Reclaiming Your Joy. So sorry if this doesn't fit the men, if it says, I'm a good mother or something. Just kind of change it so it fits for I'm a good father. I am loved. I am confident. I'm focused. I'm a leader. I'm a teacher. I'm a guide. I'm a student. I forgive myself. I am worthy of forgiveness. I am courageous. I'm respected. I am honored. I live my highest truth. I am authentic. I love myself exactly how I am. I respect myself. So just kind of hear those. If any of those say, just your unconscious mind starts to talk back to you, trying to say that's not true, then you know that there's a program running that's against that. Now, maybe, I'm not telling anybody what they have to choose to be their programs, but I think if you have a program that says, I'm not good enough, that would be one that I would choose that I don't need to carry anymore because it's not serving my highest anymore. And that's the only thing. Find programs that you're running that are no longer serving your highest good. Anybody have anything that they felt because they read it that didn't they resonate?
I did one that's important. Huh? I wanted to choose my greatest.
Can they hear you? Don, can you hear Don? Okay, good. He talks pretty quiet, so he could have it close.
I was saying I decided to do to surrender my greatest fear in the program. Mm-hmm. And my greatest fear was I was afraid I didn't belong with a family of light.
Oh.
And that I didn't fit in. And it's one of the things about a program, it's kind of mysterious how you get it. It really is, you can see right through it that you have it.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
But it's right there, and it's operating in you until you can change it.
Right.
Or surrender it.
Absolutely. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And think about the roots of a program like that. What could even the deeper roots of a program like that be? I'm not, how do you say
I don't fit in.
I don't fit in.
Don't fit in.
I'm unworthy,
yeah.
I guess.
Unworthy or not good enough might be also parts of that same program, right? Mm-hmm. You see, other people are better. They must be the light workers. I don't quite fit in. I'm not quite good enough to be that. So consider those programs, too, might be part of that same program. And as you kind of like find one program, start to think, what are the roots of that program? Where would that program have started?
I'm too different, and I'm way out there, or I'm not there yet, or I don't have what you have. You have better gifts than
I. Yeah. We constantly compare ourselves to each other, right? And then we decide based upon that someone else is better than us, or we're not good enough, and so we start developing these problems. We start doing it very, very young, don't we? And our parents, unconsciously or consciously, a lot of times program us with certain beliefs. You're lovable if. You deserve love if. And so it's like there's not just this unconditional love. I love you because you are. It's like if you have your room clean, you get all your chores done, and you're good to your brothers and sisters, then there's time for you to receive love. Maybe there's never time for you to receive love.
But as a child, you think you're dumb because people can program you and say, you're stupid, you're dumb.
Cool.
And you start thinking it, I still think But I know that was one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, Randy, when I was a child, I was always compared to my older sister. She was the princess of the family. So some of us have that experience where we have a sister and that sister is favored, which is fine. But out of that, it took me a really long time to notice myself. So one time, I was maybe 19, and I was working in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And and someone came up to me and said and told me I was attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was dumbfounded. Like, what? I need to
like, that's my sister.
Yeah, not me. Right? So the quality of being compared all the time creates dissonance in your view of yourself.
And untrue beliefs, untrue programs, right? That was just a program. So when someone said it, it's like, no, I'm not. Now that self-talk immediately coming back saying, well, that's not true because I've never heard that before. So that must not be true, you know, and so it's just that program coming up.
And especially women live a lot in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Especially I lived in L.A. for a long time, and they're constantly bombarded with billboards, you know, perfect faces and all that, and makes you insecure.
And men do too. Think that it's always like your job, your title, your you know, moving up in the corporate world.
Yes.
You know, title things.
Competition.
And
the body's also, you know,
and
just
the same
weightlifting
thing.
And being body up to.
Yeah.
One of the things about a program is that it's a status of those beliefs. So you rather fight and change it.
It's true, huh?
It's like.
And a lot of our programs become our identity, don't they? Have you met people that are sick? And it's like they don't even want to let go of that illness because it's such a strong program. It literally has become who they are.
Rather be right than happy. It's a way of like, you know, that's my protection, you know, to keep people away.
Yeah.
Your identity in some cases.
It definitely becomes your identity. We take on our programs, if we're living unconsciously, we take on our programs as our identity. And most people spend most of their lives living unconscious and living in a lower awareness to not realize it's a program. They just assume that's how it is. They assume that everybody
else.
Listen
for your chlorophyll drop.
Right, you say that on the phone, we can't hear you. Or if you're talking, we can't hear you. Say what you said. Okay. So one way to identify programs is to just read a list like this and just see how it resonates with you. You feel like, sometimes I just go through and like, when I first started, like, yep, I got that program, got that one. check, you know, it's like, I had a lot of work to do because I have a lot of programming.
Have you run into anybody that's in denial?
No, nobody's ever done that lot of work.
What you're asking to do is honesty with ourselves.
It's being honest with
yourself.
And sometimes you don't even realize it's a program. That's the other thing coming up. So that's where you need to start paying attention. So if you notice on your list, oh, by the way, do you guys see we're on this part here in your notes, restoring emotional health and balance? So number one, it says reading and writing statements that you desire to have a program and see how they make you feel. So that's like reading the good ones. Or reading the bad ones and seeing how they make you feel and deciding, all right, is that probably a program I need to work on? And just, you know, that's just being very aware, just noticing it as very much upfront and as you can possibly be. Now, just to start identifying deeper programs that may not show up as easily for you, notice where there's dis-ease in your body. If there's dis-ease somewhere, maybe it's in your heart, that's a good sign that maybe I feel unlovable. If it's in your feet, that might be a good sign that I'm afraid to move forward in life. If it's in your right side, it might be a more of a feminine or a masculine issue. If in your left side, it might be more of a feminine issue. You know, whatever it is, just kind of start noticing where you're having these things come up. That'll help you identify the program. That's another way to help. Pay attention to what keeps reflecting back in your life. If you constantly, you know, get divorced and remarried, get divorced and then remarry the same guy again, and get divorced and marry the same person again, and they're a jerk and they abuse, what could be a potential program there? That I'm undiable, that I'm not good enough, that I deserve to be
abused.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
I cannot maintain myself.
I depend on someone.
I need you to validate.
I'm not lovable, so I'll take whoever will love me. Or, you know, so just see what's reflecting back and see, okay, what's the program that keeps me attracting the same person? Or maybe it's you keep getting, you know, you apply for a job, you keep getting rejected when you're more qualified or whatever it is, and they keep picking someone else over you, and you can't figure out why. The program's there.
A big one for some women that I is like,
I'm nothing without a man.
I'm nothing without a man.
Oh, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nothing without a woman.
Why do you keep getting in relationships? Yeah.
Or identifying yourself by your position. You know, let's say it's like you feel, I'll be good enough when I'm vice president. I'll be good enough when, you know, and then, yes, the program is, when are you going to be good enough? That's, I'm never good enough, right? So just start noticing, so start reflecting that. 99% of the time, the programs are always going to come back to not being good enough, not being lovable, being rejected in some way. Almost all programs stem from some of those, unlovable, you know, so... But sometimes there's layers of those. You have to address the layers and kind of get down to those deep ones. So realize this is a process. Anytime you're clearing stuff, it's always a process. And usually it's an ongoing process. So give yourself love and space as you're going through it. Don't feel like you have to, you know, figure out all your programs in 24 hours and change them all in 24 hours and, like, be completely healed and better. Allow yourself that process to heal and go through and just as they come up, that's when you see them. Okay, so another one, pay attention to your self-talk. And what do you say to yourself? Do you talk to yourself like you would to other people?
No. Well, you don't really say it. It's running you.
It's running.
And it only gives you negative information. It never tells you anything positive.
Yeah.
That's why this is not you, that you're identified with that insanity of the mind. Always, it's just like a downward spiral.
Looping.
Looping, yep.
Looping
yourself. Yeah. Looping. And it will move forward.
Right.
What were you going to say on that? Mentally.
That's
the same program, yep. If you're looping a program, it's definitely a program. Were you
going to
say something on that?
No. Okay. That's the way we talk when we get up in the morning and see ourselves in the mirror.
Oh, my gosh. Well, terrible without makeup.
Yes.
Like, look at that belly, for heaven's sake. You think you're not going to eat anymore.
Never again.
Especially if you got a mirror that makes you even look bigger.
Yeah.
No. Don't blend in your mirror.
No. I'm not a
coffee, right?
So, you know, those programs, those people have programs on that such a major level, then it becoming anorexic, bulimic, these downward spirals, and it's like they'll be the skinniest person, barely, you know, just skin and bone, and they literally still think they're fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really major program that's like, no matter how obvious it is, that program isn't true, they still look in the mirror and see, like, one little thing right here that's a big one, but, you know, they're like, you know, that's still fat. And it's like, when is it going to be enough?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really? The girls do that?
No.
I wake up sexy every day.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that star, you bent boy.
That's awesome. But there's nothing wrong with having that kind of program. There is nothing wrong with loving yourself. Nothing wrong with loving yourself.
Is that a good program running? Or?
That's the one he chooses.
Yeah. And that's a good point. The one he chooses. There's really no good, no bad, whatever. It's just like, what are you deciding is choosing your highest good?
You or not?
Yeah, is it serving you?
Yeah.
Well, talk with that one thing.
Yeah.
You know what? As you were talking about programs, I thought about program attack. You know, the time, I'm running late, I'm going to be late. Oh, it's going to be Saturday, or it's Monday. And it's just
that's true. I don't even think about that.
Program.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Avalanche.
I you know, and they said that helped me realize the program I run is I have this fear that I'm not going to get something done fast enough before something else would happen with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a program. So what do I create?
Yeah.
I don't get it done quite in time before I'm ready for something else.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's
a lot of sabotage programs.
Booby trap.
An approval issue, okay? Going down to those deeper roots of it, you know? So again, that's it's just being an awareness. You see, I'm just kind of seeing how your life is playing out, and just being aware helps you understand it's a program. Programs aren't true necessarily; they're just what you're running. So just notice that, and notice, you know, is it true that you're unlovable? Is it true you're not good enough? I think you're telling yourself right now saying it might be.
But then it's true of what things. What you believe you are, that's what you project.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what's reflected back, right?
It's reflected back as well. So that's the power of all this.
Exactly. So when you don't get the job, is it because your boss isn't seeing you correctly? Or because you're not good enough? Or is it really because you just have a program that you're not good enough?
Or how do you see your boss?
How do you see your boss?
Usually people see the boss as double SOB, you know, so different, and angry or upset with them or pushing their buttons all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's not true at all.
Yeah, if you're having dissonance and whatever, you know, look at that. Is there a program running between the two of you that are really just your program? Spouses are the best to point out programs. Typically, you marry the person who's going to push your button better than anybody else.
There. She likes it out.
Another thing, when you're tired when you're tired or frustrated or sick, you get a run of programs, and you get program overload.
Viewing up, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's a great time to see them, actually. So when you're in those spaces, if you can come to a space of awareness instead of just going back to your regular programming, turn to regular programming, right? If you come to that space of awareness and say, all right, let me listen to what I'm saying as I'm spewing these things out, you'll start noticing what those programs are. And so that's just, it's hard to do because our natural response is to react based upon our programs, right? But if we choose to respond based upon awareness as we kind of start noticing our program, then we can choose however we want to respond. Reaction just happens, right? One thing, the reaction is just like an instant thing. It's all program-based. But a response is a choice how you're going to respond, right? It's your responsibility how you respond. That's taking responsibility. If it's just a reaction, then you're not taking responsibility and not looking at what could be the program there. Someone online have a phone, or online. Does anyone have the phone have any comments? Is anybody on the phone?
Okay. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. You're doing great.
Hello? Hi, this is Mary Ann from California. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, I can hear
you. Oh, yeah. Another word for programming is the ego. The ego does that.
Ego is the master programmer. You know?
That's what causes all the suffering.
Sorry, say that again?
That's what causes a lot of the suffering here on the planet is we're operating out of ego. We don't even know it, you know, half the time, unless you start going, you know what? I'm going to shift over to my higher self or my other self, you know, like you say, become aware.
Become aware.
I like that word, aware.
Lower chakra, right? The awareness is moving up. It's the upper chakras.
I would like to mention something about ego and the program, because
I had 2 years of battle with it. It's essentially, do you remember the cartoons back when we were kids of the good angel and the bad angel? The ego is the bad angel. It has its purpose, and its purpose was to keep us away from danger. It's like, hey, you see a dog that just got on leash coming at you, and it doesn't look like it's very happy. You know, you run. The purpose of the ego is to protect us.
Yes.
But somehow, some external force, you know, the powers that be, figured out a way to put it on steroids to where it would take over every aspect of us. So anytime, you know, I remember, some words of wisdom speaking that every emotion comes from a place of either love or fear. And, you know, at the root level, every emotion is one of these two. So, you know, as we put on the filter, if we analyze whether this is coming from a place of love or a place of fear, then we will be able to determine at that time as we make our progression whether we are coming from a place of ego or from a place of love.
Good. In fact, if you move down in the notes, if you regularly experience any of these emotions, you are running programs of some sort. So if your regular experience, a daily experience, you experience anger, frustration, fear, anxiety, sadness, loneliness, tension, friction, discipline, disappointment, pain, helplessness, learning, yearning for change, hate. All of those stem from programs that aren't serving you. If they were serving you, you wouldn't feel that way, right? If they're really serving your highest good, they wouldn't be triggering those emotional states. Where it says if you've released programs and you're living in a state of, gotta say, good clarity and awareness, then you're going to experience clarity, trust, inner knowing, and increased awareness. So that's kind of how, you know, notice through your day how you normally feel. If you're normally feeling, you know, frustration as you're driving, anger at the boss, you know, frustrated with your husband, bugs at your kids, if these are your normal daily patterns, there's a lot of programs probably in there that you still need to consider looking at. So just consider that. But there's a reason that I'm not living in my joy if I'm feeling these emotions. What is that reason? Let me look at my programs and see if maybe there's something that I need to consider that I haven't seen clearly. One more way to find your programs is to ask your higher self and identify programs to help you identify these programs. And I should have put this on there for number 7 too, which we're going to do in the next section, but it's talking to your inner child. Anybody take time to talk to their inner child today? Would you mind sharing a little bit? And you don't have to share the personal stuff, but just kind of the experience of it.
Yeah, I asked Randy, you know, I said, you know, I would appreciate it, you know, if you would mentor me and work on, you know, some things I would really need working on. And he told me that I'm very strong and capable of handling it myself. That was such a gift, you know. You know, I know I am, but, you know, you still want to reach out. And, you know, of course she said that she's available anytime, but just to go out and hug a tree, and I'll probably spend 30 to 40 minutes out there. And, I mean, bawling my eyes out with this hugging this tree, and it was so healing. It was just such a gift, Randy, such a gift you gave me. And I know I'm strong enough, and I know all this stuff, you know. And
tell us about the inner child first, because that was kind of what brought the emotion.
Right. So I had a really, really, really bad childhood. And my dad died when I was 6. And I went to one of Randy's
workshop,
thank you. And what she did was she physically brought through my dad. He actually came through in her body. And he actually hugged me and wouldn't let me go and told me, you know, how much he loved me. And it was so profound. I mean, it was so profound. It was the best day of my life, and I told Randy that. It was the best day of my life. That's how much love I could feel. Because can you imagine just not having your dad since the age of 6? And then I had him. I had him that day, you know, and I always feel him around me a lot. But it was a magnificent day. And so I still have a lot of pain with the inner child. So I did a lot of healing today out in these woods in Payson, you know? I mean,
and
I really
did. Did you go in and connect with the inner child? Is that what you did?
I did.
Okay, so in a visualization, you just tell me.
I did. I brought her through and, I told her, you know, what you said, well, pick a different program, that you had a different life. And then, you know, your dad was there for you and you had a wonderful life. And wow, did that change things?
Change the story.
My dad was there.
In a real way. Right. Because here's the thing with the inner child, is that inner child is still like the looping. It's still in that pain of, you know, not having dad there, of that loss, of that severe pain. And so that, because that child is still in that loop, you can go right back into that moment in time and change the story.
Yeah.
Say, hey, look who's here to play with you.
Yeah, so
back
we did
here.
Play. We did
play. You know,
play.
And maybe he pushes you on the swing,
did
and you
play.
Go for a walk, and he reads you a book,
and
you know, and you see this as a real experience. This is because it is real, right? Everything's real, and everything's an illusion. There's nothing that makes this decision to change this experience any less real than the actual experience that you he perceives as real too, because it's all real, because his spirit is still here, right? He can still show up very real for that child's spirit who is also still here. And so, and they all live within us. Even though they are us, they're still separate from us, right? You can see that inner child separate from you. And a good way to start looking at your programs is to go in and talk to that child. Say, how are you doing today? How do you feel? How was school? How, you know, and start talking to them. And if they say, yeah, it was terrible. Nobody loves me. I'm here by myself. There's nobody to play with me. I'm sad. That's going to help you start seeing those programs. And when you're in that unconscious state, kind of in a deeper meditation, is it, do you know why it's easy to start changing the program?
Because your defenses are down.
The ego mind is shut down, right? The conscious mind is shut down that says it has to be one way or another. When you're asleep, the conscious mind is shut down completely, right?
Yeah.
When you're in meditation, the conscious mind is almost gone. The deeper you get, the more gone the conscious mind is, which makes the unconscious mind easy to start reprogramming, changing the story, changing the program. So you start telling that child what that child should have always heard. Because our parents, they raised us with their programs, right? Our parents were programmed, so they raised us with their programs, no matter how severe they were. If those were programs of abuse, of sexual abuse, of, you know, constantly telling someone they're not good enough, or constantly, you know, always having conditional love, those are the programs they run, which are the programs they end up playing out on you. Typically, those are the programs that were played out on them.
Yeah.
So it's like, at what point are we going to choose to change the programming? And you can choose it right there in that moment with that child and say, you know, tell me about yourself. What, and start telling me, you're so amazing at your art. Do you want to go on the swing? Can I read your story? Do you want to play with Legos tonight? You know, just start talking and spending time with that inner child and change that inner child story. You can show up as your own mom. Yes.
So after we had our conversation last night,
maybe get the mic so I can hear you.
I'm a really good student, so I try
right away things that people that I trust tell me to do. So that image that I had of that little child, you know, I started doing what you told me to do, but I didn't wait to
tell
get
them what that is. They know what you
the child.
Yeah, tell them what I told
you.
Oh, okay.
So just what you're saying.
Okay.
You're saying to connect with the child, love the child, be the mother of the child. You now can mother your own inner child and play with her and spend time with her and all that kind of stuff. So something really interesting happened. But you know what's really funny? I'm going to tell you what's really interesting that happened. But I'm questioning, like, was that what was supposed to happen? You know, you're like, what? Okay, so, you know, like, is this really what was supposed to happen? Because it might not be what everybody else is. Yeah, so this is interesting. So what happened is, so I went and got her and was just hanging out with her. And I was doing this throughout the day after you talked to me. And, like, whenever I had a moment and I saw the vision of her, I would just go get her. So I went and got her, and she asked me to dance with her.
Awesome.
So I'm dancing with her, and she's growing up.
Wow.
So she went from this child that was really depressed and sad, and she began to blossom. So I saw her and I'm going, are you supposed to grow now? Yeah, because she started becoming an adolescent. So I'm going, wow, how powerful am I that she's just growing up before my very eyes? So my love was so deep and so genuine.
Awesome.
That she started growing.
Awesome. And you're growing out of that now into the more maturity part of waking up and realizing that you're not that little child going through that anymore. And I have the same type experience.
You know, maybe you need to connect with your baby self. There's babies that never felt connected, that never had that from the very beginning.
Or you know, 12-year-old self.
12-year-old self, your 16-year-old self, the high school self, you know.
I think I spoke to you some time ago, and I said, you know, I got this message, and I felt like I had the inner child, the inner teenager, and the inner young adult. And so these different levels of self it needs nurturing.
Absolutely, it needs nurturing. That's perfect.
You were very instrumental because I felt, you know, there's a practice that needs to be addressed because it's being neglected.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had neglected a child, abuse the child, reverse it, and start nurturing those areas of self that didn't get that.
Right.
Right? Abandonment or whatever. And so you treat yourself the way you would have done if you were whatever the way
treat yourself the way you'd want to be treated as a child.
Yeah, yeah. That's perfect. I was trying to say that.
I mean, how would your parents show up for you if you could say, okay,
yeah.
I wish that they had time to read a book to me. So take time with your child and read them. I don't have one single memory of my entire childhood of my mom ever reading a book to me. I remember I had a Cinderella book that I remember twice my dad read to me. I think he read the other books too. He was a little better about taking time, but I remember my mom was always busy. She had five kids. And there was always work to be done. So there was never time to just sit and play. And that was my biggest inner child thing, is she was just lonely. It just, you know, there was just never time for mom to play. So I started going back, and even today it was interesting because I kind of practiced this just before this session to just kind of check in on my inner child, just kind of see, you know, I'm neglecting mine too. And I said, "Yeah, how are you doing?" She was dancing and playing when I first got her. She's like, "Oh, good. She must be doing good." But then I saw that, I said, "You know, how are you really doing?" And she said, "I'm lonely." And I was like, "Wow." I didn't realize that I'd still been neglecting that inner child, really doing my mom's programs, right? I'm too busy to take time to sit back and meditate and connect there. I'm busy meditating and connecting. I know, what do I want to create in life? What do I want to do, you know? And I'm still neglecting that inner child a little bit. So really take time, take practice to always check in on that child, just like a mother would constantly. This doesn't mean you have to do it every single day, but especially in the beginning if you're going through this healing process, I think every day would be an excellent practice. Because new things will constantly come up as you're going through this. And just really listen, and that inner child will talk to you. That inner child will tell you how she's feeling or how he's feeling or where, you know, some love is needed. And give it that love. And if you're a masculine man who isn't used to loving that way, that helps you not only receive it, but it helps you also start to be able to give it.
Yeah.
So it's a really powerful tool for men to connect with their more feminine energy. So that's a great way to help awaken that side of the, you know, in men, that side of the kundalini energy is connecting with that feminine energy. And really, that the cool thing about these meditations and those things, you don't have to do all the work of reprogramming. It just happens naturally. When you're doing these programs and, you know, you have to surrender and do all this stuff, it's like this whole process. But in the inner child, it's a natural change because you're already in the unconscious mind changing it. You don't have to connect to it or do anything. It automatically is changing those programs just by you showing up loving yourself.
Did you want to say something on that, Peter? That you had no?
You can also go back into the womb.
Absolutely.
Ooh, yeah.
Totally into the womb.
Yeah.
There's a lot of womb energy that babies take on that you don't realize, right? And you can, and it's just as visualize. For some, this might be harder because it's hard to visualize yourself in the womb. But just kind of, you know, just intend to go back there and see how it feels. See, you know, how are you doing? It's like you might be feeling mom stress, and so just shift that energy and say, you know, you're loved, you're safe, everything's okay. You know, and just maybe just want to sing it a song, sing yourself a song, whatever it is. So, any other thoughts on that? Who has tried this before? Who has done exercise like this before? Just out of curiosity. Okay, good.
Connecting with your inner child exercise.
Yeah. So most people kind of know the process. They may have a hard time doing it that's tried it.
It was a complicated story because we were handed over after birth to a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 3 years, we felt this is our mother. I one brother and I, the others were older.
Wow.
And then after 3 years, I realized this is really our mother. So,
wow.
So and then there was a lot of longing there, and they were only there on the weekends if they were there, and often with other people. So
it was
all
there
was really messed up. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't quite. I know that little child is still there somewhere.
Right.
And I had you know, touch base with her. And I just don't know, like, at what age. I guess she's around.
You know what? You let her decide. Just
yeah.
kind of go into meditation, see when she shows up.
Mm.
If she shows up at 2, work with the 2-year-old. Because
yeah.
usually the unconscious mind is going to bring up where it really wants to work first. If she's 16, that's where she starts. If she's 3, if she's, you know, newborn baby. So just kind of start wherever the inner child happens to show up. You don't have to necessarily choose it or pick it. Let the unconscious mind dictate that. So, and that's a really good one. Just now, you can show up and keep that connection, because it sounds to me like there's an issue with being connected, because you're just kind of like not really sure who you were supposed to connect with, so it was hard to make that connection. Would that be kind of the program there, maybe?
Well, I was really connected to my brother. I was the older guy.
Okay.
I really
went like this, but then when you
really felt outside, I know they can't hear you. Oh, you just took the microphone, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hang on, so I should bring the microphone back.
I said I was really closely connected to my brother, who was like a year older than I, and when he got hurt, I would cry. But another big thing, it was we grew up out in the country, and it was after the war, and it was great there. We had fields and fields of vegetables and fruits, and played in the little creek and nature. To me, I was totally, I did not trust people at all, but I grew up with animals, and I loved animals. I was very close to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very healing and
good.
You know, to have.
Good. Well, and so just think, you know, just see where that child wants to show up. They'll dictate it.
Yeah.
The child will let you know. I mean, my inner child immediately said, you know, I'm still kind of lonely. You kind of haven't showed up for a while. You've been too busy for me again. You know, and so just pay attention to those things and just show up for once in a while, see where their needs are and let them know, and that'll help identify the program. Okay, obviously today we don't have time to actually do these exercises, so I want to give just tools for you to start working on your healing, you know, and start noticing your things, because this is the ascension process within, right? That's the whole purpose, is to ascend within, so we're releasing anything that's blocking the energy flow to our ascension, to our heart, the return to heart, yes.
I just wanted to say how helpful this workshops have been for me, at least, because you mentioned something that really hit on a lot of notes, like whoa moments for me. Like, I developed diabetes at 27, and you know, when you mentioned that, you know, that's usually because of somebody who just doesn't see the sweetness in life. I remember, yeah, I was done with life by age 27, and I guess depending on the level of suffering you've had. You know, some of us may have diffused, you know, maxed out a lot more than others. Like, a lot of people can, you know, go through life still with some sense of purpose, but some of us might not. So, but in the process of, you know, having to just keep on going and not quite finding a way out, you create other programs to sort of distract yourself from these traumas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you mentioned talking about your inner child, and I just couldn't deal with it. I don't do kids, you know, it's a point of great pain for me. So, but, you know, it stuck with me, and I, you know, slept on it, and I realized that I can't deal with this. It's complicated, and I don't want to go there. So I went into meditation, and I visualized, like, walking up to Mother, Father, God, and, like, handing this orphan. And it's like, I'm bringing you this one. You know, he got issues, but I'm just going to give it to you and just give it back when he's fixed, okay? I don't feel the same after that. I don't see myself, you know, running distraction programs. I feel very joyful after that. So even if you cannot talk to your child, yeah, it's just donated to Mother, Father, God.
Okay, now consider this possibility. Now that you've given it back to Mother, Father, God, this is kind of a renewing process. I would still potentially consider talking to that inner child now that how he's back. Ask him how he's feeling, how he feels, how things are going. Maybe it'll be easier now to connect where he's not in so much fear, if that makes sense. Because the you still says, I'm terrified of children. Is that a program? Is that a potential program right there? You know, and it's because you're afraid, and I think you expressed this to me, you were afraid, you know, of your dad, so you're afraid that your grandkids will be afraid of you like you were of your dad, right? And what is that, how is that program affecting in your life? You know, so think about those things and just consider,
is this something I still want to look at on a deeper level, you know? And don't be afraid of these inner children, because they're vulnerable. They need you, you know? They're living in fear of dad still, you know what I mean? And these things, and so I think what you did is fabulous. I really did. And that's a great idea to start there. Just check in still, you know? Don't be afraid to check in and just allow yourself that experience if you feel that would be maybe another step you could consider. So
I have a question about going back to the womb part.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what the question is, but would a fetus be affected by the conversations of others around him?
Sure.
If it's not involving the mother, though.
Absolutely.
But the thought processes of everybody else not involving her.
Music that's played.
It's energy, really, more than anything, right?
Well, your body is a chemical cornucopia. So when there's some disruption that's going on around you and you're in the womb, and I think it's primarily the mother, and the father, that whoever's intimately around that child.
Give the microphone. I just realized they can't hear what you're saying. Then on the phone, just put down stuff on the phone.
So what I was saying is that your body is a chemical cornucopia. So what happens is that those that are around you when you're in the womb create a chemical reaction that the mother is having that can create poison. It can create an over adrenal stimulation. It can be all kinds of things when it's in the negative. When it's in the positive, it does just the opposite. It creates a feeling of warmth and joy and good feelings. So we are so chemically tuned in to that unborn, or the unborn child is so chemically tuned into us that even a thought, a fearful thought, they get.
Yeah.
Well, I think I just found the mother of all issues then.
What's that?
The doctor kept telling my mother she was not pregnant.
Wow.
My mother swore she was.
But how do you think that affected you?
Well, I haven't gotten that far yet. I think I just got the first
kind of like the
that definitely would create
a disappearance.
Unwantedness.
Yes, yeah.
Or others not being prepared to deal with another child.
Yeah.
Even I'm invisible.
Yeah.
He sees me.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, I the first picture that I got was a 4 or 5 year old, you know, that's, you know, so when we were talking about the womb thing, I looked back and I went, oh, my mother was happy when I was in the womb. It was a different story for her. They were actually starting a new family and it was different for her. But I didn't have that. It started when they decided to start separating as a couple. And that's when it all began.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And unwantedness.
Perfect. Yeah.
But I know y'all love me.
I've
been
talking
to you. I'm
not
lying.
I
did have
the mic. One thing I'd like to say,
let her go first. Oh, you'll be right after.
I was born in the 30s, and war was going on. And I never had a mother. I never had a father. Of course, I was born to my mother. She was 17 years old. And she had to leave the town and leave me with my grandmother because she had to get a job to support me. And there was no jobs in the small town, so she went about 28 miles to Cumberland, Maryland to work. And she never really, I don't think I ever bonded with my mother. I never knew who my father was. So after she died, and I found it in the filing cabinet with a different birth certificate, and I found out who my father's name was. So here I am without two parents. And my grandmother, was kind of yelling instead of being nice, but she would tell me what to do. And I had a brother that was 4 years older than me, and he had a different father. Now, here's what, I know I'm opening this up, but I'm not ashamed of it at all, believe me, because it really is real and it happened. But I'm going to tell how I grew out of that. So anyway, my grandmothers then couldn't afford me either, so I was handed out to the state. And my brother was handed out to the state, and he was in a different section of the community. And I never really got to know my brother either. And you know what I did? My grandmother, thank God, she read the New Testament to me. She taught me about Jesus. And it was the Southern Baptist that we were in. You know how strict they are. And I tell you, if I did not have Jesus as my hero to lean on, I don't think I would have made it. And you know something? Every time, now, you know how I say I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry all the time?
Yeah.
We were talking last night, and I want to know why I do that so much. And what did you tell me?
Just today, you mean?
Last night when you were talking about
Joanna.
It was Joanna that she told you.
We talked about just a few minutes ago. Remember I said to you, I said it's okay to say you're sorry if you bump somebody, if you run over. But think about, is there a deeper belief program potentially that I'm sorry that I'm even here. I'm sorry that I it's like you're sorry that you're talking because your voice has been repressed. You're sorry. Like that deeper. And that's where you want to consider, it's okay to say I'm sorry if you, like, actually bump someone or step on their toe or whatever. But if you're constantly apologizing for who you are or what you have to say, then that's the program you might want to consider looking at as a program and not really your truth, you know.
And I just want to not take much more time here, but I want to say the outcome that I feel. Now, with this family that I have here now, is like my real family.
That's right.
And I have had more love now in my later years, senior citizen years, than I ever had before. And it's healed me so much.
And you can even bring that, you can bring all of us into a visualization with your inner child, and everybody take turns talking to her, loving her, you know. There's no limits on this. That's the cool thing. You literally can have that inner child experience anything she's ever wanted to experience. If she didn't get to go to Disneyland, you take her to Disneyland. If she didn't get to go to the park, you take her to the park. If she never went camping, you take her camping.
Take us all with you.
You can bring everyone. You can bring anyone you want there. If dad never showed up, create the most coolest dad ever and have him show up. You know, if dad was abusive, make a new dad. They punched the old dad in the face and said, I'm going to take over and make sure you're okay. You know, there's no limits to what can happen in these situations because they're yours. It's your new story that you're writing.
Well, let me tell you who my father really was. He trained Tyson.
Wow.
A boxer.
Speaking of punching someone in the face, right?
Wow. And he never knew about it. So, you know,
and another thing about Rita, she's a Walmart greeter. So,
I love it.
Like one of the most powerful women ever.
Oh, my, she's so good. I forgot about the Walmart greeter. I never said a word. And
I respect Walmart greeters now more than anyone in the world.
Well, I wasn't when Zoe was there. I wasn't, but I went out because I needed to have some people to talk to, and I'm living by myself, and I like people. And it's only 4 hours a day that I do.
And I was laughing. I think it's fabulous. It gets you out, gets you doing. I think it's fabulous. All right, we got to kind of wrap this one up. Oh, Zoom? Oh, Peter.
Oh,
Don went. Oh, Don. Yeah, yeah, Don.
Joanne was talking about how.
Can you call me Joanna?
Joanna. My last name is such, I get even with people by. Okay, Joanna, you were pointing out how when someone is in utero, experiences are the the baby, I don't want to call it a baby, but the uterus is very sensitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one of the things to realize is that is exactly when protic responses start.
Yeah.
You talk about tracing back root causes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what you hit on about talking with the
inner child mm-hmm.
in the womb,
womb
is has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
At that time, the child could be respond to life by being anxious, or another child might
absolutely.
Be more depressed, or another child might be this or that, but it all starts back then.
The creation of that child is happening in that moment, right?
If,
so what
if you want to deep dive and get in more deeply to what's going on and the potential of changing it, because I was told once that feelings don't change anything. Their energy is true.
No, that's fantastic. I've
seen
that.
Yeah. They don't change anything. It's what you do when you're experiencing feeling the follow-up.
Wow.
But if you can get back to that level, and there's more of a chance you can be very compassionate about that,
true.
Just as you are when you talk
wow.
to the little child.
Absolutely.
Room.
And let those emotions move when you're doing the inner child work. If you feel like you just need to cry and let it go, make sure you allow that process to happen. Because how many children weren't allowed to cry? You know, how many children weren't allowed to express emotion?
Yeah.
And maybe that inner child just needs to yell and scream. Encourage them to do that.
Remember my healing? When I took this class, I took 3 weeks.
I don't know if they can hear you on the phone again, so...
I did this class in the whole weekend with you.
Just talking about a workshop that I do
right.
Called Reclaiming Your Joy.
Right. And when it was my turn to talk about my inner child, it was nothing but crying and whining, and I just could not even write. I have to just listen to my story because it was so painful. So extremely physically painful that I could not even stop crying in order to be able to write my story. My story was completely incomplete. And when we went into the bed and let everybody heal the child, the inner child, these are the practical aspects of this class that we unfortunately will not be able to do, but I totally encourage you to do it, because in the practice is the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just getting the grasp of you have a problem. But it's not until you go to the practice of this really will the healing. And when I'm in that bed, remember how much I cry and I scream, because for the first time I was allowed to feel all the physical pain that of the horrible, horrible things that they were doing on my surgeries in the hospital. And everybody is, oh, don't cry.
Yeah,
you
don't
are
cry,
strong,
right.
girl.
Be strong,
be strong, don't cry. Your mama will come back. Yeah, she will be here soon. No, I was living in that hospital.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 months at a time. Yes, she will come for 20 minutes. They will allow her at night. And not every day she could do it because she has
right.
six children.
Exactly.
So it's what you do with this information.
Exactly. You have to allow yourself to heal, allow yourself the space to express emotion. If you want to come to a workshop, it's a great space to do that. Obviously, we don't have time to do that with every person in this room today and share all our stories, right? So if you need that space to do it with in a healing opportunity, that's what we do at the workshop. This is also that you can do on your own, which is why I want to give you these tools. It's just a matter of doing it. It's a matter of taking the time and doing it and continuing the practice until you really do heal your inner child. You know, and that really affects your whole life and all your programs. I don't think I'm going to go into right now. We're going to take 4:45. I was going to show how to release programs
like on here. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, or if I should just wait. Do you guys remember how I showed you this thing?
Oh, yes.
Did anybody want a review on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Render protocol.
Yeah, so when you start noticing what the programs are, this is the process. You have to let the emotions run. You can't just do this and then expect it to heal, because if we're bearing the emotions, this is kind of just like scraping off the surface, and there's a whole pot of dirt underneath that needs to be cleared out, right?
Yep.
So you have to bring it up first. Especially the deep stuff. Bring it up first, and when you can see clearly, feel clearly what the emotions are, that's when it's prime opportunity to clear those programs. Okay? So, and this is where you just got to keep practicing it. I started clearing programs probably 3 years ago, and I went to an old workshop, kind of like what we were talking about, a workshop where I really did a ton of stuff in 1 weekend. You can do a lot of healing in 1 weekend when you're really focused on doing that. So that I recommend some guys just kind of give you that jump start. But I was doing the slow process too, and that's powerful as well. You just keep at it and keep practicing it. The problem is most people, it gets a little painful, and then they don't want to do it. Men especially, I find this with. Okay. They don't want to really deal with those inner chills. It starts to get painful. It's like, I don't need that. I'm good. That's good enough. You know, and then those programs will still keep playing out. So really, you're saying, and Peter and I are talking, we're actually going to put together a class for men too, because it's so timely and it's so needed right now for men to be able to express and heal, and there's not a safe space oftentimes for that. So, yes.
Just one thing that I'm pretty clear that this is accurate, that pain is a sign of resistance.
Yes, yeah. Beautiful. That's very true.
Well, suffering,
so pain is a sign of resistance if you can't hear.
Suffering is a sign of resistance. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So when you're suffering, you're identifying with it.
You're identifying with it.
Same thing. I mean, I get what you're saying.
But pain and suffering are two different things.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Yeah, because there are people that have pain, but they don't. Well, I don't know.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know either. I'll just think on that one.
Yeah. How about emotional pain, isn't it? What I'm talking about is allowing the emotion is flushing it away, flushing it out, moving it away from you. Resisting it is putting yourself in pain. So, for example, if you're like when you told me about the inner self. Well, I mean, I feel emotion over it, but I'm gonna go work on that instead of resist it.
Exactly. Give it a little tape when you're very get up back up here, right?
But in the resistance, you change nothing.
Right.
Exactly. In fact, in the resistance, that is, it persists and that intensifies.
Yeah, right. The resistance persists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know about the philosophical difference between pain and suffering.
I'll think on that one.
Let me explain a little bit. Unconscious people, unaware people, they go straight into suffering. They have a pain and they just go straight in. They identify with it and they go straight into suffering.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. By us being awake,
uh-huh.
You realize that you're having a physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual pain.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you look on it as a challenge from a perspective of non-judgment and neutrality.
Okay.
If you can, that's the point. You work towards that. And then you can deal with it. You can deal with the energy in motion.
So are you saying that if you're unaware, it becomes suffering? If you're aware, it's just pain?
It just becomes a memory.
Yeah, it becomes, you can see it more clearly, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see it more clearly as, all right, this is a pain caused by this, so I need to address this cause here. It's not just, I got this, you know.
Oh, I got it.
It becomes a victimhood.
There's different degrees of victimhood.
Sure. Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I totally get that.
A little bit victim.
I like that.
Yeah. Some of the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just to close, so the people on the phone are going to have to try to follow this along just by listening, because it's not easy if you can't see it. But this is how you can clear programs. Once you bring them up, once you identify they're there, so there's options. You've heard of EFT. Some people have heard of EFT, which is like tapping.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're actually tapping into the unconscious mind, okay? So you can do that way. There's, body code. You can use body code. You can work with a hypnotherapist. There's all different ways. This is one I asked Spirit to teach me a way that I could do it for myself and have other people do it for themselves, not have to go to a practitioner in order to start working on programs. And this is what came to me in the vision of how to do it. And it seriously works, at least for me. I've had incredible results with it. So, and it's something you can do on your own. Anytime you start to feel those and be able to see clearly what a program is, you can start to release it. So you want to be kind of specific with them, because every program has different pieces to it. So you want to kind of talk about every piece of it. So let's say it's rejection by men. We'll say that's the program you're working with. Now there's deeper roots to that program, right? Like, I'm rejected, I'm not good enough, I'm unworthy. You kind of dig deeper each time, but you just start with that surface one that's showing up right away because your boyfriend just dumped you and you're super emotional about it. And so you're saying, okay, I have that program, so I'm rejected by men. So you're just going to work on that program specifically and then work on going deeper and deeper after that into what the real root of that issue is. Because it's not that boyfriend dumping you and it's not really being rejected by men. It's typically a deeper belief that you're rejected by yourself, or you're rejected by God, or you're rejected
by your father,
by your parents,
your father.
Exactly, because it's male energy. Yes, okay. Or it's your mom, and if it's, you felt rejected by a woman. It doesn't matter. This is just an idea, to give you an idea, right?
Right.
So you're going to start in the heart, at the heart chakra, and which is the start point of the release. You're going to say, I'm releasing, I am rejected by men. So you're going to go up over your head, and then you're going to pull it.
Left hand?
I'm using my right hand.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, but you can use either hand. I just do it with my mind now. I don't even use my hand. I'm only using my hand to show you how I do it. But when I do it now, I just do it with my mind in bed, and so you don't have to use your hand.
Also, the right side is the male side. So if you have an injury or an illness, it's from your father's side, and the left side is from the mother. Yeah, so you're using the right side for what we're
okay,
doing.
Perfect. Okay, so start the heart, up over the back, releasing, I'm rejected by men. Or you can say something else in your head right now if you want to. You can say, releasing, I'm rejected by my mom, if you want, if that was your issue. Okay, then you're going to start on your left shoulder, and you're going to say the same thing, going to the right, releasing, I'm rejected by men. I'm just going to say releasing, I'm rejected, just so it fits with everybody in the room, if that's okay. So we're going to go on the third eye area. You're going to start at the top. You're going to go towards your right, releasing, I'm rejected. Okay,
they don't notice.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to go towards the right in a circle. So if you start, sorry, thanks for people on the phone can't see this. So when you go your third eye, you're going to go towards the right, your right shoulder, in a circular pattern until you get to the top of your, back to the top again.
Counterclockwise.
I don't even say that anymore because it confuses everybody. They all perceive it differently. So I just say to your right. Okay. You're going to do that several times. What you'll find is by about the fourth or fifth time doing it, you'll start to say it, and the words literally kind of won't come. You'll be like, releasing our, and it just kind of phases out. That's when you know that program has been altered, okay? It's been switched. It's been completely deleted in a lot of cases. For me, I realized my deepest program was that I was rejected. And this has been playing out everywhere in my life, and I didn't even see it clearly until the one night I told you that my story, and I suddenly saw what it was. And I literally deleted that program in 5 minutes and changed my life. Like, literally everything switched when I finally saw that deep program I had that changed everything. That's how powerful these programs are, and how easily you literally can change your program once you give the space for the process to go and then to delete those programs, okay?
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm noticing in all of this process, that what it comes down to is a very specific one-word thing. Unlovable, rejected, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So the story that we tell, which is really complicated, and it surrounds it with this person and that person, and that happened to me, and this happened to me, and then that happened to me. It really avoids and completely doesn't allow us to get to the root cause.
So what my point is that if we find ourselves telling a big story about our lives and we did this and we did that and that happened to me, and then not that that's bad, it just prevents us really from moving into where the deepest part of us that we could release.
So, yes and no. It actually pulls the deepest part of us that needs to be released up. So that's the whole point. The whole point is if you don't do that, if you don't go into the pain and experience it, it just stays there. This is going off the surface, but this is bringing it to clarity.
So that's not exactly what I mean.
Okay,
what I'm talking about is that roof that I hear people in.
Uh-huh.
That this guy rejected me, and
the same story
over again for years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, in my opinion, this is probably for me, my learning, is that the story prevents me from getting to the root cause.
So the thing is the reason you keep replaying it over and over and over again is because you're not seeing that that's your program, right? You haven't taken responsibility. You think that that's the problem. You haven't taken the responsibility that my program is causing all of this to play out. So in doing these things in a very aware state, that we are aware that we are searching to discover what these programs are, that's when you can pull it up to see it clearly. And you're not just telling the story just because it's, look at me because I went through all this and da 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 da. Like, you have to become aware that you're telling that story to heal it. Because if you're just telling it to have people say, well, that's so hard what you went through, you're missing the point.
What if the people, though, are telling the story over and over and over just because they like telling the story?
Then they're still keeping it as part of their program.
So then my question is, why can't you just tell a different story?
You can, but that's the thing. But there's still that inner child in there that wants that validation that they weren't loved, that they weren't accepted. So that's what we do with the inner, with the wood, and you do the visualization, is literally changing that story.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So, and I don't want to get into anything too personal or anything like that, but for some reason, I've always rejected the idea of going down and into the well and all that kind of stuff and finding that child and doing that kind of thing. Whether it's because I'm a guy or what, I don't know, but I just, I've always turned off to it, no matter what.
Yep.
And
I could sense that from you just sitting here, which is so funny. Like, I could totally feel it from your energy, the rejection of that.
I apologize.
No, and you don't have to apologize for that. It's very common.
Yeah.
Because
I don't want to get to that.
I know.
But I also know that the root is not in this lifetime, it's in the past lives.
Yeah.
But I've always been one. I was a therapist,
mm-hmm.
and I never went the psychoanalysis route, or mm-hmm. that bring it up to all the past stuff. I was a behaviorist,
mm-hmm.
and I worked at the level of here's the behavior. Let's just change the behavior. Now, of course, it didn't always work, and when it didn't work, I would take them back, not in hypnosis, but that multi-level awareness technique,
mm-hmm.
and take them back to a past life or the ones that were willing to do that. Or even to an earlier time in that life or something. But for the most part, it was always behavioral. Let's just change the behavior now. She knows this. This is kind of the way.
And is it working? You see that it's working?
She doesn't think so. I think
it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work.
No, I mean for me.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't think it works for you.
Well, I knew you'd say that.
So here's the thing about what you said.
I wasn't going to say any of this.
No, but
I'm so glad that I was honestly hoping you would. I just on it because I felt it so strong coming from you that I wanted it to be expressed, but I wasn't going to ask. So I love that you brought it up.
So
I love that you did.
What I see, which is really a beautiful thing, is to have clarity. So what is beautiful is to have clarity on who we are and what we need to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a beautiful thing. It's not a fearful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So that's number one. Number two, to go to the root cause or back to the inner child is a reflection of a pattern that you brought in with you. So it isn't about going back to the past life, which you can,
mm-hmm.
because in the present life you brought the past life with you.
All there.
And it's all there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see this lonely little girl coming in on a tire, abandoned, it's not just this life. I brought this with me.
Right.
So when I heal her, I heal my past life.
All of it, exactly. They're all connected. It doesn't matter where the story starts necessarily. It's that you address it somewhere where it can be healed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole I don't know if everybody knows this, but this is relevant maybe. I've been married 3 times, right? Okay. So we're working on this marriage. Like we're not because we have it in a possibly we're more enlightened. The guy that was closest to James, the James, said, well, I'll give you back 6 months because we're such opposites, right? but we have this work to do, and higher self knew that and kept us together and kept us together and kept us together. So this is what I believe. So this could be manifest.
Being the group.
This higher calling could manifest itself. We had to be together to do that, right?
Right.
But we have a ton of past lives that brought us to this marriage, but dealing with those past lives doesn't heal this marriage. We have to heal this marriage. In the present moment,
I wasn't
even
talking about the marriage, I was just talking about myself.
But that is it. When you heal yourself, the marriage works. When each individual takes responsibility for their own blocks and consider the possibility that there's a lot of pain there that you don't want to go into because you don't have to feel it up here near your mind. But as soon as you go into your heart, you feel it. But
Charles tried to get to me. He did not make it. He gave up.
And that's where it has to be. You can't just surrender it all. I don't care what he thinks, that you just can't surrender it. You have to be willing to go into that child. If you want to heal that child, because that's where that pain is, and that's where if you don't look, where are you blocking your energy at? There's a pill flow. You're not flowing the energy. That heart doesn't want to feel it. And this is where the masculine energy gets away with it, is because there's runs up the spine. It can kind of go behind the heart, and then they can kind of, you know, make it work. But the energy isn't flowing properly. And they try to avoid it. They avoid it. But because of that, they don't allow the feminine energy connection. And that's where it's really you have to have both for that energy to flow correctly, right? So in denying that inner child, you're denying your feminine energy. Because you're denying that connection that allows you to connect on a whole new level with yourself, with your life, with everybody in your world because of that blockage. And it's a protection. We do it to protect our heart. Mm-hmm. At some level, someone hurt your heart. Typically, this is how it goes. It could be death. At some level, and this happens to almost everyone. We end up putting walls around our hearts because it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurt when we got hurt there.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to protect it and keep it safe. But in doing so, what are we not allowing outward?
We don't allow the love.
Exactly. Can't allow.
The whole heart is actually the protection around us.
It's like when I was talking about the thinking of Louise Hay, when people have heart trouble, they have closed off their heart because she says that and she has things to say. Now, if you have your back hurting in the bottom lumbar, that you feel like they'll say, well, my back is killing me. Well, it will kill you. But what it is you're carrying too much of a load.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And moving into fifth dimensional energy, this is why this is so important. In the fifth dimension, we're no longer creating through the lower chakras. And so you can kind of get away with it in third dimension, like just ignoring it. But if you really want to move into creation in fifth dimensional energy, what does it create through now? The medium, we are creating through the heart chakra now, right? We're manifesting through the heart chakra. So if yours is blocked, are you ready to ascend to that level?
Absolutely.
You're not.
Yeah.
You won't. So you can't deny working with these anymore. If you really want to get through the ascension process, you have to start looking at the heart and start figuring out where those blocks are happening and be very willing, and it hurts, and that's why nobody wants to do it. It can be very painful to go and see what those blocks are. But once you do, it's actually not that bad. It actually feels so great because there's an inner child that's been crying to be seen, literally.
It's such a false belief that we think we protect our heart if we close it.
Yeah.
It's the opposite because then we have no
protection around us. It goes right here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's open, then the protection is all around us.
And it really deteriorates the heart until it goes numb.
Yeah.
It doesn't. So we lose its power.
There's actually an exercise, physical exercise that you can do, like when you get into the shower. Most people, when they get into the shower, they do this, and they do this, and they do this, but they don't do this.
Well, I can't because I fall.
Okay, if you
can do it like this.
If you can, if you open your arms and allow the water to hit your chest and hit your heart area, it begins to open that chakra.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I told you that happened to me. Before I came to Arizona, when I knew when I was contracted, and it was to protect my, protect my heart from being hurt and feeling those feelings. And what I did, exactly what you said, I didn't do the hands, but what I did was I just stood and I would put the shower head right at me and let it, and as I felt myself contract, I would push out to keep doing that until I got through that and stopped doing it and allowed myself to just open my heart, to do that and stop doing it.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah.
It was painful, but I had to do it. It just, it came to me that that's what I had. In order to do that and get past that and stop doing that contracting, I had to do it.
Yep. And you sometimes have to overexpress all the emotions in order to move the energy.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally, you do it in self-awareness that I am going to overexpress this. It might be, you're stupid, go to literature shop, run away. You're expressing like these, what mom yelled at you. Because you're bringing it to the surface to see what's the problem. You stupid girl, why are you not good enough? Why are you, not that this is maybe my experience, but these are just things, this is how you might need to do it. So find a safe space to be able to overexpress these, if it's just crying and whatever it is, to really move the energy. Because it's that compression breakthrough. It's getting enough of it to push through the heart, push up the energy, move those blockages. It's like a dam. It's like that pressure has to build up enough to break through that dam. And once it breaks through, the energy flows again. And it can just be easily released. And things can come through. New things are going to come, but then you can just let them flow through and easily release it. It doesn't have to get stuck in those same blocks, those same dams you have all over in your chakra system. It's keeping the energy from not moving freely.
Another thing, it keeps you from loving again.
It does.
Because you're going to be afraid to get in a relationship because you'll be broken-hearted.
Right.
I
have
not heard
of. Yeah, you're afraid. It's a fear. It's again, back to fear.
It's hard enough for women to heal and to get through this, but for our men, we tell them, boys, don't cry, and don't, you're not supposed to have. Man up. Don't show your
emotions.
Don't be a sissy. Yeah, so we've got to change the mindset.
And women overcompensating in their masculine energy because they shut down their heart, they end up doing the same thing men do. They end up going to their masculine chakra system and playing from that instead of their feminine chakra. And then we shut down our feminine chakra system because we don't have to feel as much. And so that's why that balance is so important. The back is our strength and our structure, right? And so women end up going to their strength and their structure, and they lose that femininity that makes it so they can really be effective in healing themselves and others. And when you're balancing your energies and both chakra systems are moving smoothly and flowing smoothly, you become a powerhouse creator because you have both aspects of it and you can relate with all aspects of it. When you shut one down, women that are too masculine, a lot of times you're often turned off to that energy, right? Because you sense that something's not authentic about it, but you're not sure what. It's because it's missing that fight. Even men, same thing. Men that can show up authentic with both the masculine and feminine running, they're very, very attractive. Their energy, you just are drawn to it.
Crazy bad.
Yeah, oh yeah, they'll get all the women.
It's powerful.
But it's very powerful.
Especially if you see them
rare.
Being nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peter's a very nurturing guy, right? So he's loving, he loves to comfort him. You kiss him,
kiss
him, hug. And that is so, it is an attractive thing.
Yeah, it is. It's very attractive. You're attracted to that energy, and you don't even consciously know why. You sense that that's what you want.
Like that too.
So yeah, you look for people that have that balance that you're searching for. The guy at Walmart was that way. he wasn't afraid to just love unconditionally everybody that came through that door. He wasn't there in an active energy just doing his job. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. He was there, you know, with a love. Welcome to Walmart. How are you doing today? You know, it's nice to see you. It's just, both were active. Both were moving. Both were, I mean, you could just feel the energy. So it was flowing out to me, and I'm like, oh, love coming to this Walmart. You know what I mean? And that's how it is.
The most sexiest part of a woman is?
Yeah, and that's a woman that is in balance with her masculine as well.
And clear of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Are we gonna do the opposite?
Yes, we are. Okay, so when you want to reprogram, thank you, because we need to get that. Once you reprogram, you'll do the opposite way. So we're releasing rejection, right? So now we're gonna reprogram. What would be the perfect one for that opposite? I'm accepted exactly how I am. Okay, so that's the root chakra. And you're going to come up to the heart. I'm accepted exactly how I am. You can even say I'm loved and accepted exactly how I am. Then you're going to come, instead of going left to right, you're going to go right to left. I am loved and accepted exactly how I am. Okay, and then you're going to go to the left on your third eye in a circular pattern. I am loved and accepted exactly as I am. And then you're going to do that. It takes sometimes at least 5 times, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, but sometimes when I'm doing my third chakra on this one, I'll want to do it like 3 or 4 times, and I don't know why, it just kind of goes with the energy feels. So if it feels like you just want to keep going around the circle more, feel free to do that. But yeah, I am loved and accepted exactly how I am. I am loved and accepted exactly how I am. This is going right to left. I'm loved and accepted exactly how I am. Then to the left side on your circular pattern, I am loved and accepted exactly how I am on your third eye. Okay? And that's it. And then you put that new program in. And that's literally deleting old programs, reprogramming new. But you can do that, but if they're still buried so deep here that you're not reaching them, it's only going to reach the ones that you've let release, that you've brought up to the surface enough to be released. So if the patterns keep showing up again, you're going to have to realize there's something deeper, and you're going to have to start looking at that inner child and doing things like that if you really want to get it all and really pull it from the root. Otherwise, you're just picking the flowers off of it, if that makes sense, picking the leaves off. You might feel better a little for a while, but it's gonna regrow, okay, until you really address those root causes, if that makes sense. Any questions on any of that? Is it good?
I'm trying to think of how... May I ask a question of everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they can hear you.
So the things that have occurred here, is there any doubt that they'll work or not work? Is there a doubt in anybody's mind that what she's saying about the inner child and et cetera? The reason I'm asking is because if there's not a real commitment to this, it won't work for you. So if there's doubt, the doubt is also a program.
That's absolutely true.
So
yep.
So if you have the doubters program, you got to remove the doubters program in order for this to manifest itself.
That's very true.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I absolutely 1,000% agree. Doubt is a huge program. My husband always like he doesn't like to do that either. He did body code back when he was doing it, which was a huge breakthrough for him. I never saw my husband emotional, and he did one body code session, and I literally heard him just bawling his eyes out.
Wow.
So much that had been held for so many years. That was one session was a massive breakthrough. It was a massive compression breakthrough. And so I think it's great to find a practitioner to help you get started. You don't have to do this on your own. It's good to work with a practitioner to get started. I like to do my workshops because I like to get a lot of stuff done in one weekend to get things moving. And then you get people to a space where it's like they know how to do it. They understand the process. They've looked at the deep stuff. Then you keep practicing. You keep going until you reach that level. But it's a good starting point. If it's a body code practitioner, whatever it is, whatever your heart feels drawn to, go to that. Your heart will guide you. Maybe it's hypnosis. There's so many options. So we're going to put one together for men now because I think that's so needed.
Wow,
yeah.
That's good idea.
They have to catch up with us.
We're all looking at it. Anyway, so, yes, that is kind of just the idea. This isn't,
you've got to keep practicing it and keep working at it and very consciously in high awareness doing it if you really want this to work, if you really want to. And it's so important if you really, truly are here to be the light worker, this is how you do it because you channel the energy clearly once it's not hitting all your programs. Because every time you channel light, it comes right through you, and then it hits all your programs of unworthiness and everything else. What are you sending right back to the planet?
Unworthiness.
All those programs,
yeah,
right?
You can hear it. You can hear it the way people speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you're not aware of how you're speaking and you're harsh,
mm-hmm.
and you don't think you're being harsh,
mm-hmm.
like that, shut up. I would say that that's one of my programs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're speaking and you're being harsh and you're not aware that you're being harsh, that's actually something blocking you from
mm-hmm.
being compassionate.
And a lot of times that comes from maybe a mom who was harsh with you, who spoke to you that way, or dad,
that's,
you know.
Right.
So you just realize, I develop this program, be loving and forgiving with yourself. Say, I am who I am, I'm doing my best, but I can see, because I have those same programs too, where I was too harsh with people. And so I could see that I needed to practice, and I did. I really practiced, like, coming from a space for more of my feminine. But I was that way because I had shut down my feminine energy. Because my feminine was my compassionate side, right? So I was working from my masculine. It's like, well, here's what's wrong with you. Just fix that. And that's a very masculine energy to say that, right? But does that work? No, it doesn't really work. So when I opened up my feminine energy again, which is my joy, my love, suddenly you become this effective teacher, healer, guide, all of it because you have that balance. And then you become effective at channeling energy. You become effective at changing the entire universe. Because that's literally how you're creating is through that heart. So when that heart's open, when everything's flowing, you're a master creator. Master creator. That's why it's so important. It's not just so you feel better. It's literally so you can change universes, which is what we're here to do.
Right. I mean, there's an end game here.
Absolutely.
It's
a beginning. Right? A new beginning is really what we're creating.
Yeah.
So a new beginning.
I had a Kogi shaman look at me in the eye and say, look at me in the eye. You know what spiritual masturbation is?
No. Kundalini energy.
No. Are you going to find out now?
It's learning the spiritual protocol and not practicing it.
Exactly. Oh, okay. And and telling everybody about how to do it yourself.
That's a good boy.
And so many do
that.
I said, man, I have been masturbating.
doing this would help the trip to Mexico.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Talk about getting the vibrations where they need to be to open the fifth dimensional portal.
So James, you agree not to spiritual masturbate. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so I was going to teach the class on creating magic potions. I don't know what. We never got to the class creating magic potions.
So 5:18.
We have like 30. What did you like in 30 minutes?
Yeah. If you don't mind, I got to go take care of the food.
What do you guys want to do?
But I want to.
Water.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Just going to 5:30, right?
Well, I'm just saying it'd be at least another 30 minutes if we want to create another
class.
Oh, wow.
So that'd be fine because I'll just go out. But I'll be able to hear.
Okay.
And then I'll corner you later.
Okay. It's not hard. It's not hard. This is like the coolest thing ever. So actually, Joanna, can you give it like 5 minutes and let me do the first part? Then you'll get the important stuff. And then the rest of it's easy. Yeah.
You can stand anywhere in this house.
Okay. It is hot right here in the sun. I'm like sweating.
It's
crazy. Okay, let me do this quickly so Joanna can hear the beginning part so she understands where this came from. Speaking of going back to womb energy, right? So our bodies are made up of what? 70% water, okay? So this is a message that has been coming to me for like the past year. All right, I feel like I need to wait to get people's attention because... Oh, she found a good fan. Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. We had a fan.
Yeah, sitting
and be done. It's not hard, but I just want you to understand the concept of it, and then you can just play and practice with it because it's so fun, and it's literally been life-changing for me. So this is something that's been coming to me for like a year, but I just wasn't getting it. Like, I just kept getting messages about what I supposed that I needed to go this direction with understanding water and manifesting with water. And I'm like, I didn't get the message you were trying to teach me. So I just kept, you know, allowing but not really understanding it. But then they just kept coming stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, it suddenly came to me that that's probably too loud. Oh, yeah. Okay. It came to me that what you need to do is change the water you drink, change the crystal formation in the water you drink, and program it with the programs you want to have.
Ooh.
And
let me just turn it off.
Are you familiar? Who's familiar with Dr. Emoto's work?
Oh yes, the vibration of water.
Okay, so there's some that aren't familiar with it. Okay, so Dr. Emoto, if you want to pull it up on your smartphone, you're welcome to. The website's there. He did these experiments with water crystals, and when he put like certain words on the crystals, or they prayed on them, they could turn like city water that just looked disgusting and gross into like these beautiful crystal formations, right? Just by putting words on the water, or just by praying over the water, chanting over the water, sending higher frequencies of vibrations to the water.
Wow.
And so it came to me that you can actually create crystals in water that will heal your body, that you can create them to. So for me, I've been taking supplements for the past about 15 years now to keep my body balanced with I kind of told you I had these health issues. So I'm taking supplements whenever you get a balance. I take supplements to balance again. And I take up to 9 supplements a day sometimes. And it came to me that I don't have to take supplements anymore, that I can actually just charge the water with my intention with those supplements. And not only that, I could charge the water with programs I wanted. So let's say I wanted my program to be, I'm prosperous, I am joyful, I am vibrant. Whatever programs I decided I wanted to put in my water, I just started charging them in the water. If I had a headache, I would charge the water with, you know, charge with the energy needed to neutralize this headache I'm experiencing. It'd be gone as soon as I drank that water. If I was getting sick, I started saying, you know, charge this water with anything that my body needs to neutralize this sickness that I feel coming on, or this infection that I feel coming on. It would be gone. Like, after drinking one thing of water most of the time. And sometimes it would take up to like an hour for all the symptoms to go away. But literally, I'd feel sick, and an hour later, I was over it. Just by changing the crystal formation of my water to tell it to neutralize this. And so I started practicing. I was doing this for a few weeks, and I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I thought, you know, this seems like it's really working. I have not had a supplement in 3 weeks. I feel better than I've ever felt. I have more energy than I've ever had. If I didn't get sleep that night, then I'd start charging the water with what I needed to get the energy back. You know, I just started using it for everything. And so I woke up this night at 3:00, had this thought in my head. And literally as I was having the thought, I was still pretty much out of it because I still hadn't really woke up, like, this is so late. My phone, which was on the other side of the room, so I would keep it away from me, you know, because the EMS at night, my phone was on the other side of the room. It literally turned on by itself, played a clip from a YouTube video that said, well, isn't that how you determine the power of the magic is the result? And I was like, oh my gosh, I could not even believe it. But that was really validation because I kept questioning, is it really the water? Is this really working? Or is, you know, it's just in my head, you know, what's the difference, right? But anyway, so it was just like, that was that validation to me that, yeah, there's really something to this. Keep going with it. And so I just started using it for all my healing now. I haven't taken a supplement since. Okay, so here's how we do it. So all you do is take your bottle of water, hold it at your heart chakra, and the more open your heart chakra is, of course, the better this works, right? Because you're channeling the energy. And so people on the phone, if you want to do this with us, you can just get a glass of water, a bottle of water, or whatever.
Taste it first.
You can taste if you want. I don't know if it changes the taste a ton.
Kind of.
Does it? Okay.
It's right on the
and you write, she writes on the bottle, so you can totally do that. So you can write your programs right on your bottle. But I'll just say, so let's say I'm just going to, so I'm infusing this water, and I feel the words as I'm saying the words, okay? So infusing this water with love, joy, peace, prosperity, gratitude, and I'll just pick a few things that I'm choosing to do. And then I'll say, infuse with, sometimes I've been doing apple cider vinegar and baking soda a lot. So I'll say infuse it with apple cider vinegar and baking soda, If you're having, maybe you want some astragalus root in there, because you have a little bit of astragalus root. And then I just kind of go through this. Like, or any other vitamin, mineral, nutrient, plant, herb, anything else from anywhere in the galaxy that would support healing and balance in my body, I'll just allow my higher self to just choose what those are and infuse that into the water. And then if I want to say, you know, infuse with, I am lovable, I am wonderful, I am passionate, I am, you can look at your list if you want of program potentials and just pick whatever you want to choose at that moment and just put it in your water and then drink it. So the water, I found the water will stay charged with it for about 2 to 2.5 hours. Now, if somebody touches your water that has a negative intention or negative vibration, notice that that can affect your water, so you want to recharge it afterwards, if, you know, if you're doing this as a real practice. So kind of keep it in your possession. And I would say, especially if you're sick, like let's say you're trying to heal cancer or something like that. But good. Not that I'm telling this to heal cancer, right? I would never say that. Or, you know, go see your doctor. You know, but anything you wanted to heal, if you're using it for healing especially, I would drink the entire water bottle at that point, because that puts as much energy of that as possible into your body at that point. So if you're saying, you know, infuse with anything my body needs to neutralize whatever it is you want, whatever disease, any, you know, whatever, you pick. There's no limits on this. Just play with it, have fun with it, and see what happens. So that's how I do it. And then I just drink it, and you're putting that charge into your body. Because your body's 70% water, and also you have that harmonics thing where the frequency of this then touches the frequency of all the water in your body, it changes everything to these new frequencies. So now this is the frequency running through your body. So you can do it. You can do it any time for anything. Like maybe you're just stressed. You're just gonna infuse it with, you know, what calmness and relaxation. And when I'm going to bed, I'll infuse it with, you know, herbs to help me sleep well or energy to help me sleep well. But I have found I really don't have to be that specific. That it just kind of works, and like I can feel it work in my body. So
you also say something like, give my body whatever it requires to get the right sleep, find proper balance.
Yeah, and I try to keep it in a balance. So what I have found is sometimes I take supplements purposely to put my body out of balance if I'm looking for certain results from it. Uh-huh. So like if I want more progesterone than I normally would be balanced with, then I'll use progesterone on top of this, because this will only do what brings your body perfect balance. So if you're wanting the result for some reason, more supplements, you can't put more in here than is going to bring perfect balance. So this is always about perfect balance, which is usually almost always fantastic, right? So, but you know, you wouldn't want to infuse it with high doses of caffeine in order to stay awake, because that isn't necessarily perfect balance. Perfect balance would probably go get some sleep, right? To get your body to that balanced state. So that's kind of one thing to think about with infusing it, is you can't use it to overcompensate for not taking care of yourself necessarily or whatever. But of course, anything else, you know, the more you're good to your body and eating healthy, the obviously the better it's going to work, because you're not trying to change so many other programs going on, because everything's energy. So, but this is just putting like lots of good energy into your body every time you drink. That way, every time you drink water, it literally is healing your body. And I think it's kind of like, you know, eating with that awareness too. You know, if you're eating with an awareness, it's going to heal. You can do the same thing for your food. Yeah, that's why we bless food, right? But this is just intending that, you know, you're basically blessing your water with what you want to program it with.
Also,
and
put more light in your body with the love.
And
we need more light to help us.
Yep.
If anybody has ever seen that, the DVD or the movie with the bleach, do we know?
Oh,
it
yeah.
shows how the emotions change the water.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Joy, would you be able to put on the group line that wording that you use for it?
I thought, is it not in your thing? I thought I put it in the program. Let me see if I have. I swear that I made a worksheet of it. So let me see if I can find it. Hang on, and I may have not passed it out yet. It's a problem too. Oh, okay, here they are. So programming water for healing. So there you are. That gives you, and this doesn't mean these are the only options. You can add whatever you want to. That's just kind of some ideas.
And Randy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you share all these handouts with the phone people?
Yes. So I actually emailed them to Joanna. So I think she can probably just email the email I sent her out to everyone.
Just put it on the list, on the Ancient Awakening list.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I'll do that. Okay. So Joanna's gonna email it out to all of you. She has it. So
thank you.
You'll get all the notes from every class that we had. So
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have questions on the water programming? I'm just going to keep it pretty simple like that just because we're kind of behind on time, so I'm not going to go into all the explanations of why. Just try it, and just like the thing said, isn't the results what matters?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
the proof
of the pudding, right? Exactly. Just start trying it.
Practice.
Every day.